Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Took a couple days. Mark Davis had to think it over, but the Raiders part ways with Antonio Pierce. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Well, we're going to help the Raiders today. We're going to help the Raiders find a way to dig themselves out of mediocrity, or a little bit even less than that, and get relevant again, because the NFL is better when the Raiders are good. The Raider fan base has stayed loyal through, revolving door of coaches, Mark Davis mismanagement, bad luck, bad draft picks, just everything, Perloff. Let's try to help them a little bit, and I've got the perfect solution.
Yeah, good luck. They've had 13 coaches since 2000, and they have Tom Telesco, who probably shouldn't be a GM right now. So how are you going to fix this?
Okay, I've got two ideas for them. Number one, I think, is the one that seems to be catching on quite a bit, which is making a trade for a quarterback. Quarterback's obviously the number one thing. We can get to coaching and all of that, but quarterback's the number one thing. And I think there's an opportunity here, because you're picking sixth in the draft. You can't just take whoever you want, because it looks like these two quarterbacks of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, they might be off the board at six. It's not a sure thing. So make a trade. I'm looking at San Francisco. I'm looking at a potential impasse between 49ers brass and Brock Purdy. They might want him to take some kind of hometown discount, some type of Mr. Irrelevant discount. And if I'm Brock Purdy, hell no. I'm not taking a discount. I've been great for you guys. It's not his fault that half the team got injured this year and that he himself also got hurt. Brock Purdy is a top quarterback in this league. He deserves to get paid. And if I'm the Raiders, I'll take him. I'll pay him. And the 49ers, you can go on your way, Kyle Shanahan, with Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, who you've been flirting with for years, or any of these other guys that you think you can turn into the next Brock Purdy. I'll take Brock Purdy. I'll pair him with Brock Bowers. Maybe I'll pay for T. Higgins. Maybe I can put a nice run game around Brock Purdy, just like the 49ers did. So, to me, I think this is where I would be looking number one if I'm Las Vegas.
So, how are you going to pay Brock Purdy and T. Higgins, just out of curiosity?
Well, besides Max Crosby, who else am I paying?
So, you're going to add the most expensive quarterback and the most expensive wide receiver.
Listen, there was a moment and there was a time when your Philadelphia Eagles had Jalen Hurts and also A.J. Brown. You had two guys who you were paying at the top of the heap.
Yeah, A.J. Brown is now not even near the top of the heap. But regardless, this is ridiculous. I mean, Brock Purdy's 5'11".
So? Well, how tall is Jalen Hurts?
So, you're not going to trade you're not trading anything to pay this guy $62 million a year. That's just not happening. That'd be the craziest move in the history of the NFL. And it obviously is not going to happen, because I don't think the Raiders think they're Brock Purdy away from winning the Super Bowl. If you trade him and pay $65 million, you have no rookie salary cap relief. You basically, you have all this cap space. You're killing it for one guy that you can't build around. And he's probably the one good quarterback who needs the most support.
Okay, but I can't manifest a quarterback out of thin air. And I don't want to go back into another season with a Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell.
What is the difference between Brock Purdy's just a little bit better Gardner Minshew? You don't think Minshew would kill it with Shanahan? That'd be awesome.
Well, then why wasn't he the 49ers quarterback?
I mean, I think he might be down the road.
He's a career backup. Brock Purdy has proven that Brock Purdy is someone who's getting MVP votes 2 years ago. Like, let's not pretend Brock Purdy all of a sudden turned back into some pumpkin. That's not it.
He was definitely not good this year.
Well, what else was wrong with the 49ers this year? I'll give you the short answer. Everything. Everything was wrong with the 49ers this year.
Brock Purdy took a big step back this year, especially some of the picks and key moments at the end. He was not good in the fourth quarters of big games.
Left tackle in and out of the lineup. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, a rumor. And Deebo Samuel hurt this year. Your special teams was awful. Your defense wasn't good. You fired both of those coordinators. Brandon Ayuk was out for the year. Ricky Pearsall was, we're just lucky that this guy's alive. You're going to blame that all on Brock Purdy.
Right.
And that's your fault.
With all that, that situation is still five times better than what you would be walking into in Vegas next year.
Well,
maybe
listen,
25 times better.
Raiders have cap space, and Raiders have Tom Brady in the building. And I don't, there's a report that Brady's going to be very invested collaboratively, I guess, in who the next head coach is going to be. And until Brady proves to me that he's not good at this, I'm willing to give the seven-time Super Bowl champion the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what he...
Good at what?
Good at recommending head coach to Mark Davis, who... Mark Davis apparently will listen to anybody. He'll listen to Jim Gray. I mean, I'd rather be listening to Tom Brady than, no offense, Jim, but a broadcaster.
So, and how is Tom Brady... He's going to fix the roster. So he's not only is he part owner and a Fox Sports broadcaster, he's also the GM.
I think he's going to be involved in the coaching hire and the quarterback. I don't think he's grinding tape on left tackles from North Dakota. I'll give you that. But I do think that he's going to be involved in these two key decisions.
Would you rather have a cheap veteran instead of the most expensive quarterback in the league?
I've done that. Jimmy Garoppolo got me nowhere. And these guys last year got me less than nowhere. So unless you are trying to execute a massive tank job, which I don't think they're trying to do this year, I've already done the inexpensive veteran, and I got Bupkis. I think Purdy's still a good quarterback. I am not just going to get scared off because of this season. His numbers weren't as good.
You know this is not happening, right? Like, you keep on talking about
this. I want it
to happen. Do you really?
I do.
We have to hear from a Raider fan here, because I think they would be like, the team would revolt if this happened. If they gave $65 million a year for Brock Purdy for 4 years, I mean, they'd probably be 2-15 next year.
How about the idea, though, of getting Shedeur Sanders? Now, that's the second part.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, you want Shedeur.
Okay, but you have to trade up with Cleveland if Tennessee decides to take Cam Ward, and Deion's going to have to make a gigantic stink about this. So it's going to be messy, a little muddy.
Yeah. That.
And it's going to cost you a lot in draft capital. So it doesn't cost you money. It costs you draft picks. So either way, you're paying.
But don't you have to give up a draft pick for Brock Purdy?
But I don't think it's going to be multiple. Like, to get up from 6, where the Raiders are picking now, to 2, especially if Cleveland knows you really want Shedeur and you're putting all your eggs in his basket, that's 2 first rounders, minimum.
Well, what was the Panthers-Bears trade? What did they have to give up to do for Bryce Young? Was that 2 first rounders?
Well, they threw in DJ Moore.
Yeah, okay.
Their best offensive weapon.
Yeah, that they didn't want to pay. So, regardless,
and then the Bears paid DJ Moore. Listen, you're paying either way. It's, do you want to pay money? Do you want to pay draft capital? You're not getting out of this unscathed if you're the Raiders, because you need a QB and everyone knows.
Yeah, I don't like that either, because I think like he will not have the support. You got to really, like, this is a rebuild. Also, the other thing, if you give up that first round pick, that might be the number one pick next year too, and Arch could be in that draft. So I'd be really nervous about that.
855-212-4227. I'm trying to be the ideas person here. I'm the one who's trying to be solution-based, trying to find something for the Raiders. You're just nixing all the ideas and not even giving any counters.
How about you tank and you go in for next year's draft class?
I think you're not going to be able to tell the difference. I think they were trying to do that this year, and they couldn't.
Right, if they paid $65 million for Brock Purdy and then had the number one pick and Arch Manning sitting there, oh my God, this would be like the all-time nuclear disaster of a team build.
You don't know, especially nowadays with college, whether Arch is actually going to come out next year in the draft.
Wow.
Like, if he plays and he starts for Texas and he has a great season, yeah, he might leave. But I watched Peyton Manning many, many years ago. Everyone thought he was going to be coming out as the number one pick in the draft, and he decided to go back to Tennessee, and that was before you were even getting $12 million a year or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, we have no idea. It could be a Joe Burrow who emerges. Like, you don't want to, you're setting up for a really bad year, but your roster's really thin. You're still kind of unburying yourself from the Mike Mayock era. You have to be careful about investing quarterback this year, because next year could be the year. I would just full on tank. If I ran, you know, I'm from the process. Like,
yeah.
Tom Brady has any say, like, go down to 0 and start over again.
855-212-4227. Okay. That's a little of what's going on with the Raiders, a little of what's going on with the news. On Wednesdays, we hit the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, everybody, buckle up. It's wild card weekend. today's great debate, the greatest wild card game of all time. The source of the happiest and saddest moments of my life. I'll go first.
Yeah, why'd you get us started? That's a good tease.
I'll go first because I'm going to go to a wild card game where history was made.
32 yards from the center of the field. Adam Lingner ready to snap it back. It's 38 all. Bills can win it here. White puts it down. The kick is on the way, and it is good. And the Bills have won it. The Bills have won it. The Bills have won it. They win it 41-38. Incredible. What a comeback by the Bills.
And the fans are all over the field.
Incredible. This place is pandemonium.
Fun fact. Steve Christie's cleat is in the Hall of Fame from that game. That game-winning kick, January 3rd, 1993. The largest comeback in postseason history. And one of the greatest games that I actually do remember watching as a kid. I was 10 years old for this game. I was actually 9. I hadn't even turned 10 yet. Jim Kelly gets hurt the last game of the season. Also against the Oilers, by the way. He hurt some ligaments in his knee. So who has to come in that game? Frank Reich. Reich starts the next game, of course. They're down 28-3 at halftime. They're down 35-3 a minute and 40 seconds into the third quarter. And then you guys know the rest. Bills come on, this furious comeback, force the game to overtime, where the Oilers got the ball first in overtime, by the way. Bills came up with a stop. That's the old overtime rules. Bills win 41-38. One of the greatest moments of my life. I get excited just thinking about it. Giddy. Goosebumps. Ugh. How do you not love sports? Greatest wild card game ever. Bills comeback over the Oilers, 41-38. Frank Reich. I was more nervous to meet Frank Reich than Jim Kelly's. Hand to God. All right, EJ, go ahead.
All right. So when a game has a name to it, that is usually a good sign. So that's why I'm going to the Catch 2 in San Francisco.
It's all or nothing now. 8 seconds to go. Third down. Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone. Owens! 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 Caught it! He caught it! He caught it! He caught it! 25 yards! Touchdown pass! Terrell Owens! He hasn't held on to anything, including his fingers, all day! And he makes the winning touchdown catch somehow, some way.
Couldn't hold on to anything, including his fingers. What a call there.
Amazing.
Terrell Owens. So I'm a comic book fan, and I love origin stories.
Oh,
to me,
are you?
This is the Terrell Owens origin
breaking
story.
News.
Yeah, this is the Terrell Owens origin story. I mean, this is where he really came into his own, right? So he has this awful game where he's dropping all these passes. And then on the final play, essentially, of the game, Steve Young, 25 yards out, drops back, throws an absolute laser down the middle. Owens gets blown up in the end zone, holds on to the ball after several drops in this game. 49ers beat the Packers in the 99 wildcard game, 30-27. Unlike most of these picks you're going to hear, no bad gaffes, no teams blowing leads, no teams dropping the ball in the big spot. Like, this was high-end football. And in fact, the only guy that didn't play well then made the biggest play of the game, and it began his ascension into a Hall of Fame career. It was kind of the last great moment for Steve Young and Jerry Rice playing for the 49ers. So one of my favorite games, kind of one of the, you talk about childhood memories, Maggie, one of the childhood memories I have growing up is seeing this game, being like, wow, football is awesome. Niners versus Packers, my favorite wild card and the best wild card game of all time.
Great debate today, the greatest NFL wild card game of all time. Manny, go ahead, kid.
All right. One of my earliest football memories, back in 2006.
Last weekend.
Yes, that's right.
I spit my water out.
I was 9 years old in 2006, y'all.
Yeah.
I've only been here for 3 wild card weekends, so the big ones are slim.
Martin Gramatica setting up for a field goal with Tony Romo holding.
Meanwhile, here's Gramatica. Romo holds. 19-yard field goal attempt. Unbelievable. How crazy is this?
Warms my giant heart.
You picked this just because it was the Cowboys?
Oh, yeah. I would have. I probably would have picked Beastquake, but you know what? Watching the Cowboys just absolutely flaunt all over themselves and, you know, Tony Romo. Oh, I close my eyes right now and I can picture that still of him botching that snap. Oh, baby! 20-19, Seahawks win on a Saturday night in 06. Let's go.
Oh, God. Somebody in Dallas is being like, when was that boat game? Was that a wild card game? Because I want to bring that up.
Yeah.
No, we all drowned in that boat.
Timberland's on the boat. It's a bad idea. Many Tim's ways than one. Okay, Bogus, we're doing the great debate, the greatest NFL wild card game of all time.
Well, our sweet, sweet Magsie once asked, how could you not love sports? Because of things like this.
Do the Titans have a miracle left in them in what has been a magical season to this point? If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got 40, it.
20, 10,
he's got
5,
it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
I hate you.
Before 13 seconds weren't enough for the Bills, 16 seconds weren't enough either in this game.
Hating you more.
This is the Music City Miracle after the 99 season. That was definitely a backward lateral from Wycheck to Dyson. Yeah.
It's definitely a forward pass.
Do we need to get a physicist on to settle this debate?
Multiple physicists in Buffalo have debunked this.
To their credit, the Titans kept winning that January, made the Super Bowl, almost won said Super Bowl. The Bills shockingly went in a different direction from there. I didn't realize that this game was the last game as Bills for Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, and Thurman Thomas. Mm. And then the next season was a disappointing 8-8 campaign, and that's when we lost the great Wade Phillips era in Buffalo running things.
How could I forget?
So I present ushering in the Greg Williams era.
Ushering in 17 years playoff drought.
So I, again, add to the group discussion the Music City Miracle.
Mm. All right, Bogus. I think we've had enough of that.
Someone had to do it.
Did they?
Yeah, and I
How about the boat? We could have done the boat. Odell on the boat. No. Okay, Perloff, you're up.
Okay,
the greatest NFL wildcard game of all time. Sorry.
We've been in a great debate since, I think, 2021. I don't think I've ever heard four bigger oversells than you guys on these four wildcards. Oh. Maggie, you just said you were more nervous to meet Frank Reich than Jim Kelly. That was the most ridiculous line of any great debate I've ever heard. You got so involved in selling that game that you lost all touch with reality. EJ is saying that Terrell Owens is like the Wolverine because of a meaningless wildcard game. Manny, I respect your anti-Cowboys stake. I don't even remember which one you did, Bogus.
I went anti-Maggie.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that.
Okay, thanks.
I'm left with the highest scoring playoff game in NFL history. January 10th, 2010, a wild card matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Arizona Cardinals.
Extra man on the blitz. Rodgers gets a hand to the face. The ball is out. The Arizona Cardinals win it.
Out of breath. Describe the play for us.
We had a play call early in the game. We missed the sack. But when the game was on the line, we called it up again. Money Mike made a great play. He made the sack. The ball went in the air. I just made a play on the ball.
Wow. Kurt Warner in that game, 29-33, 379, 5 TDs and no picks. That is a day, Maggie. And unlike, did your guys in any of your games, did any of the teams go on to win anything? No, I don't think so. Mine didn't either, actually. The Cardinals lost. The Cardinals lost the next round to the Bounty Gate Saints. But 2009, Cardinals versus Packers would be like, wait, people would be like, did Rodgers win it all that year? Was that the year? No. Did Arizona make the Super Bowl and lose to the Steelers? No, that wasn't the year either. But I have some pretty big numbers in this game, and therefore I'm going with what I was left with.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Well, just what you said. I was more nervous to meet Frank Reich than Jim Kelly. I'll bring Frank Reich in right now. You don't need to be nervous. He's around. I saw him in the coffee room. He's best friends with Boomer.
His college roommates. Two studios down. Get my makeup done next to him every day.
Kelly ball right over your shoulder.
No, I love that. From Sully, our pal.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. No, that was, yeah. I kind of got the last choice on that one, but I was researching this game. A lot of fun.
There you go. The greatest NFL wild card game of all time. That's our great debate for today. Did any of your people go on to win? Mine Ian didn't.
I really sat here like, wow, man, maybe he's right. I guess the Cardinals did go.
No, the Cardinals still have never won anything.
Yeah. Doesn't 2009 Cardinals Packers feel like one of those teams could have gone on to the Super Bowl?
Definitely. I was like, damn, how did I not know that?
But at least we knew with the two Bills games, we knew they didn't win the Super Bowl. That was obvious.
Yeah, because I forgot about all the Lombardi trophies that the Arizona Cardinals have laying around.
Whatever. Manny brought up Tony Romo. We know he didn't have a ring.
He's a loser.
And we laughed and we
EJ did have T.O. and Steve Young. I'll
give
him that.
Jerry Rice had guys who won multiple Super Bowls.
Facts. Well,
Young had one.
Many years before your game happened. Go ahead.
855-212-4227. Bringing up some good memories, some painful ones. Best NFL wildcard game of all time. Let's go. Okay, Perloff, I'm a winner. Not my Bills. Necessarily, but I'm a winner every time I play Prize Picks. I'm on a heater right now.
You're putting in the work, Maggie. That's what I appreciate.
Well, it's about the NBA.
Yeah.
And coming up this weekend, it's going to be about college football combined with NFL. This is what I love about Prize Picks. Not only is the app easy to download, but you can pick two or more players across any sport, whether that's football, college football, NFL, basketball, college basketball. 40-plus states, including California and Texas, are all on board. You've got to get on board, too. Prize Picks, now accepting major credit cards for quick and easy deposits into your account. One of the best parts of my day is winning my Prize Picks and then coming in and telling Perloff immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you're using, like, analytics. I feel like it's a little ridiculous. Some of the stats you've been throwing my way because you're so engaged in this, it's awesome. I might need some help today. And I cannot wait to enjoy this during football. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app and use the code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
It's a miracle!
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate. Wednesday, greatest wild card game of all time. You can call in on that. I still want to hear from Raiders fans. Maggie wants to give you Brock Purdy and $65 million. It's not her money. She's like, what the heck? I don't think that's the route to go. I'm not sure what the route to go is. But Shedeur Sanders, say you want to trade up to get him. That's a tough way, too, because you got to give up a lot of assets. So if you could solve the Raiders or pick the greatest wild card game, we want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. What's going on the poll for greatest wild card, EJ? Because you can leave mine off if you want to. I'm going to volunteer that.
I mean, I thought about leaving off Romo because Manny opened up with that. It was his Giants bias that led that pick.
Yeah.
Well, also, that's like a negative.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you could argue your game, the comeback, was a negative from the Houston standpoint.
That's true. It is called the 93 wild card game. It is called the comeback for some of us. It's not. It's called the choke for the Houston Oilers fans, for Warren Moon.
Oh, do they really call it that? Because I know the game as called the, when I say the comeback, that kind of jumps to mind.
Oh, definitely. It was called the comeback.
Yeah.
But
is there any other game called the comeback? Not really.
No, I mean, this was the greatest comeback in the history of the postseason.
Yeah, Music City Miracle.
Well, we all know
about
that.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. What's the nickname of the T.O. catch that you had?
Steve Young,
T.O. Oh, they call it the catch, too?
Yeah, in the Bay Area, definitely.
And Manny's just the Romo snap. And he gets so much pleasure out of this.
It is a pretty iconic wild card moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go to Raul. He's in Colorado. Raul, we're asking for the greatest NFL wild card game of all time. What do you got?
Yeah, for me, I'm definitely going to be biased a little bit here, but here it was 2012. Tim Tebow, Broncos beat the Steelers in overtime. First play of the the first play of the overtime, Tim Tebow hits Demaryius Thomas over the middle, wins the game. May he rest in peace.
Let's hear it.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him free to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on to New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
Just shocking. Raul, thank you for the call. It's a great one. Just a stunning result, right? Because Tebow was like on this weird heater at the end of the season, even though the season hadn't gone particularly well, Perloff, and they were all about to get fired. They run into the buzzsaw in New England, which ended up just dashing the Broncos' hopes. But it was such a stunning, shocking result that Demaryius Thomas was that wide open.
Well, right. Tim Tebow had a heater, but he was always run plays. Like, mm-hmm. he hasn't having any success over the air. No 70-yard touchdowns. And the Steelers were such a, institution at that point. Like, we never expected them to lose there. And, right, they got rid of Tebow immediately afterward.
And Josh McDaniels gets fired, I believe, the next year. Midway through the next year, no? My timeline might be wrong on that. But he got fired very soon after.
So, wait. McDaniels had Peyton the next year? Because that was Tebow. Did Tebow play another game as a Bronco?
I believe John Fox was coaching Denver for Tebow.
No. Josh McDaniels was the one who drafted him.
So wait, and Tebow was gone right after that game, right? Am I mistaken about that?
No, I don't think he was gone after that game. We're talking about the 2011. What are we talking about here? Wait, No, I think you guys are wrong about the coach.
No, John Fox coached the Denver Broncos in 2011.
Where was Josh McDaniels then for Tebow?
McDaniels drafted Tebow, but this I'm looking at it right now. John Fox
was there for this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
They only finished 8-8 that year, but made the playoffs. And then they beat the Steelers, and then they lost 45-10 to the Patriots.
Right, and then they moved on.
I was at that game. Tom Brady set more records by halftime in that game that I'd ever seen.
Then they got Peyton in that wild free agency the next year and gave up on Tebow.
Yep.
Yeah, Kyle Orton was a starting quarterback the year before with Josh McDaniels. Tebow came in relief late that season. That was Josh McDaniels. That was the end of Josh McDaniels. But Josh McDaniels didn't even get to coach Tebow, I think, because he was already fired by then.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels was let go in 2010 after the videotaping scandal.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry about that. I could have sworn that Josh McDaniels was on the sideline there, but my apologies to John Fox.
He drafted
Fox.
Tebow, though.
Yeah, right.
All right, now I'm an idiot. Videotaping scandal in 2010? What was that?
The Broncos were under investigation for videotaping a Niners walkthrough practice during their Week 8 game at Wembley Stadium.
Man, I wonder where Josh McDaniels got that idea.
Yeah. I was like, you mean the 2007 videotaping issues? It was a procedural error, is what all my Patriots fan friends say.
I remember DJ Williams, Miami Hurricane, he talked about this scandal. He was like, we started 6-0, and we were like, wow, like, we're doing great. Like, we might win the Super Bowl. Like, what's going on? And then he heard the rumors that there may be a video scandal. And remember, the rest of that season, I think they won only one or two more games. And he was like, man, we were cheating the whole time. That's why we were 6-0. It's a hilarious clip.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. It definitely makes a difference when you know the other team's plays.
I mean, I'm going to imagine there were multiple reasons the Broncos moved on from Josh McDaniels at that time. Not only were they not winning, like, McDaniels is a tough, that's the thing, we're in this coaching cycle, like, he can be hard to get along with, is what people, he's very, very smart, but he's not always user-friendly as a coach, right? He's a tough guy.
No, it's the people who are trying to do the Belichick impersonation.
Right, right.
And you don't have the rings.
Right.
So it falls really on deaf ears. And you don't have all the answers. Belichick, I think, really siloed his assistants off. So the offense and the defense, I don't think he ever, remember he was going to share the keys to the kingdom with Josh McDaniels? How'd that work out? McDaniels ended up fleeing to go to Vegas. I don't know.
By the way, the videotaping scandal happened during Tebow's rookie year, so.
Okay. Thank you, Manny. NFL wild card.
You guys had questions about who was coaching Tim Tebow. Sorry for clearing that up.
You did. You don't remember it.
I should say while learning it for the first time. Tim Tebow.
Andy doesn't understand. This is also, I'm a grad teacher. This is his master's degree as well. He's learning sports. Like, this is all part of a advanced course.
Yeah.
Yes, postgraduate.
It's a miracle!
Thank you. Greatest NFL wild card game of all time. Let's quickly get to Blake, who's in Oregon. Blake, go ahead.
I'd like to bring up that Marshawn Lynch game, the On My Dick game. He broke nine tackles. Oh, excuse me. He broke nine.
Oh, wait a minute. Can that word can't go out over the air?
And trust me, it did not.
It did not.
It almost did.
We're on a 10-minute delay.
I didn't know the game was called that. Did you guys?
It's called the Beastquake game. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Marshawn Lynch did that thing.
He grabbed a thing.
He grabbed himself.
Don't say
did that thing after that drop. That sounds provocative.
It was provocative.
And now more guys do it all the time.
That's not helping.
Are they flagging that, by the way? I don't think that. I think Jameson Williams did it recently. I don't think he got a flag for it.
I think finally they didn't. The last guy that did it, they didn't flag for it. And it was like, okay, maybe they are.
Just letting it go.
By the way, I am seeing several. I just, sorry to the Odyssey, search history is going to look at this and be like, what the hell is EJ looking at on his computer? But I did search what was said on the air, and it is referred to that by some folks.
Oh, he gave a post-game interview?
I don't know why or where this came from, but if you just search what the caller said, that yes, that does come up.
Do you remember when it wasn't for this celebration, but the pelvic thrust one where the league had an acceptable number of thrusts?
Hangle
McCringleberry was a penalty.
McCringleberry. I'm on Rossi Brown.
Penn State, Hangle McCringleberry.
Two thrusts, fine. Three, you're out of here,
you're
mister.
A pig.
Yeah, how dare you? There's children watching. All right, well, yeah, we do remember that Beastquake game. That was a hell of a wild card game. Mogish, you've got updates for us.
Well,
take
guys,
it away.
Apparently nothing in college basketball matters because of Shaedon Sharpe, but I'll tell you these things anyway. Top-ranked Tennessee, no showing at 8th-ranked Florida, losing 73-43, and now every D1 team has a loss. Bruce Pearl is the winningest coach in Auburn history, courtesy of the second-ranked Tigers' 87-82 win at Texas, 20 points and 12 boards from Johnny Broom. Cooper Flagg, 19-10, and Duke's ninth win in a row, 76-47 over Pitt. And number six, Kentucky, took an 82-69 tumble at Georgia. As for those high and mighty pros, the Celtics beat the Nuggets minus Nikola Jokic.
Five on the shot clock. Tatum dribbling between his legs. Gets himself in rhythm. Starts his drive in the paint. Stops. Dotted line. Jumper. Got it.
Ooh. That's some serious stuff like that. When things are going wrong, give it to your doggone big dog and let him work.
12 straight for the Celtics. Timeout, Mike Malone.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. Boston, a 118-106 win in Denver with Jokic home sick. The Heat.
Sorry, we need more barking on our play-by-play.
I couldn't tell if he was barking or doing work, like the song. Because he said, let it do work.
I thought he was like, let the big dog eat. Did he say let the big dog eat?
No, he said let the big dog do his work.
Woof, woof, woof.
And then he did work.
All right, Manny, can you isolate that while Bogush continues on? Did Cedric Maxwell go work, or woof, woof, woof? Back to you, Blake.
The Heat, 114-98 winners at the Warriors the night after a double OT loss in Sacramento. The Lakers falling in Dallas, 118-97, even though Luka and Kyrie remain out for the Mavs. The Hornets snapped their 10-game skid, 115-104 over the Suns. And Trae Young, a half-court three at the buzzer to get the Hawks a 124-121 win in Utah.
12 straight for the Celtics. Timeout, Mike Malone.
Yeah,
I still
hear,
can't tell.
I still hear work.
12 straight for the Celtics. Timeout, Mike Malone.
That's a yappy dog.
That sounds like my little dog, Lita, who's like 30 pounds. That's not a big dog.
That dog that interrupts our calls only weighs 30 pounds? I thought it was a German Shepherd.
That is one loud little dog.
Yeah, she can bark.
Your dog, the one dog, it's not just doorbells or fireworks. EJ's dog responds to cell phone calls.
Yeah,
apparently.
Even when you have the phone on vibrate, she's barking.
Yes, it's ridiculous. I love my dog Lita, but it is. No one can call the house. You can't FaceTime. You can't Zoom.
Is that because she needs your full attention at all times?
Yeah, I think so. I think she thinks she runs the house. Well, our door trainer basically told us that. She's like, she's relented number one spot to Andrea, but EJ, you're number three in this house. She clearly thinks you're the...
I mean...
12 straight for the Celtics.
Wait till you have kids. Then you'll be lucky to be
you're
number
off the board
bogus,
completely.
Right? Like number three, I'd kill to be number three in my house.
Yeah. I'm just happy the door's open when I get home. Yeah. Thanks for letting me stay here, guys. It's like a hostel.
Bunk beds again,
yeah.
Huh?
All right, fine. Whatever, three squares. I think the Dolphins story is that Tyreek Hill remains unhappy but hasn't actually asked to be traded yet. Here's GM Chris Greer.
The one thing I would say is in a frustrating season, he was very emotional. And I think all of that with him playing through his injury just kind of bubble to a point.
Head coach Mike McDaniel said he and Hill spoke open and honestly for an hour Monday. Part of that convo was making sure Hill knew it would never be okay for him to refuse to play as he did in the fourth quarter on Sunday. Vikings D coordinator Brian Flores said yesterday he'll accept any invitation to interview for a head coaching job. The Bears, Patriots, and Raiders at least expected to be interested. Flores is finishing his second year in Minnesota. He's 3 years removed from being fired by those Dolphins. And Ashton Jeanty officially declared for the draft yesterday. Justin Verlander reportedly headed to the Giants for $15 million for the coming season. And the Toronto Maple Leafs got their fifth straight win, 3-2 in Philadelphia. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. Our great debate today, the greatest NFL wild card game of all time. We're also trying to fix the Raiders. Got any ideas? Do it all next. It's M&P. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Got a lot of news going on today, but on Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate. And with the wild card weekend upon us, we are asking, what is the greatest NFL wild card game of all time? Glad to see at least one person agrees with me. That would be the comeback, 1993 Buffalo Bills against the Houston Oilers, the largest comeback in postseason history, 32 points. Bills win 41-38 in OT. Logan in Rochester is backing me up on this one. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Maggie. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Very well. I didn't hear the beginning part of your segment, so I didn't realize that you had picked the comeback as the number one comeback for the wild card. And it should go to the Bills. Even though it's an unbiased opinion on my part.
I know. Listen, a call from Rochester so agreeing with me about the Bills.
Exactly.
You can't make it up.
And I believe it wasn't a wild card game this next one, but I believe it was the next highest comeback. It was 33-0. It was 2022 Vikings, and they ended up beating the Colts, and their coach was Frank Reich, who ended up throwing or being quarterback in the comeback game.
Yep.
So it's kind of just a kind of full circle kind of thing, but yeah, I just don't agree with you.
You know what's funny about that? Logan, thanks so much for the call. Double check me on that. Was that Frank Reich who was coaching that Colts game, or was that Jeff Saturday? Was Jeff Saturday the head coach of the Colts against the Vikings? Remember when Jeff Saturday left ESPN and took over the Colts?
Yeah, I know. I think he was. Pretty sure he was.
Who?
No, Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah, right, Saturday.
I'm pretty sure it was Saturday, yeah.
I don't know why I'm remembering that way, because I remember Saturday, they actually started his tenure with a win, I believe, over the Raiders.
Yep.
And then they lost the rest of the games.
Yeah, that was because I remember, what was the guy? Irsay was being like, oh, you know, we might bring Jeff Saturday back. And then they blew a 33-point lead, and they were like, we're going to look at other candidates.
We're going to go outside the box on this one.
We're going to go college and pro.
Offense, defense, and special teams. That's what the Bears were bragging about yesterday. They're going outside the box, guys. Offense, defense, and special teams. So there you go. Yes, Sean, Oregon. Sean, what's the greatest NFL wildcard game of all time?
Well, it's one of my favorite seasons, and I'm a Steelers homer. And I'm going to go back to 1989 when the Steelers had to come back and beat that Oilers team like your Bills did. And that was the great Oilers teams with Warren Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And Bubby Brister and the Steelers drove down the field, a few minutes left, and Merrill Hodge scored the touchdown, ran the ball in with like 46 seconds left, threw it in overtime, and the Steelers won by a field goal. And then they went on and lost to the Broncos by a single point that season. That was Chuck Knoll's final season with the Steelers. That was a great team. It was one of my very favorite teams.
Yo, Sean, thanks for the call and the memory there. Fantastic one. I'm noticing a trend here. Mm-hmm. Every single one of the games that we picked, Perloff, the team that prevailed in that awesome wild card game mm-hmm. never went on to win the Super Bowl. And how many of them even got to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, there are very few Super Bowl teams who needed to win a last second wild card game.
But well, sometimes it propels you know.
I'm sorry we hung up on Sean. I wanted to ask him, the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, oh, I want to do an old school one. Have you guys ever seen the NFL Films video on that controversial Oilers-Steelers game
yes.
where the guy caught the ball on the very tippy toe of the end line and they took a touchdown away? Steelers went on to win the game more easily, but the Oilers were like this up-and-coming team, and it was Mike Renfro. But it turned out that was the AFC title game.
Yeah, Bum Phillips famously went into the locker room and just said, we were robbed.
Yeah, if there was replay, that would have been one of the wild scenes. Because even to this day, they debate whether that. So it's interesting. The Oilers Steelers definitely back in the day, like, but it's hard to remember what's a wild card game, what's a divisional game. Felt like those teams really went after each other in the playoffs.
You know, not to just bring a correlation to present day, and you're still welcome to call in with your wild card games at 855-212-4227. But it's like these great wild card games, but they don't end up leading to the Super Bowl. We're watching the college football playoff, and I know this is the first year of 12 teams, Perloff, but what are some of the themes we saw? The teams that had a bye at a break
yeah.
were the ones who end up going home. You have no conference champions in the Final Four. It's like this running start, if you will, whether it was college football playoff or sometimes even the wild card, like Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl as a wild mm-hmm. card. Obviously, the Giants have won Super Bowls as the wild card. Sometimes it feels like it gives you this momentum, but as we're talking about some of the great wild card games of all time, it didn't. Didn't see it all the way through.
Yeah, I wonder if that's an aberration for college football. Maybe it just sort of worked out that way this year. There was so much parity. I mean, you saw Oregon was the number one team, but they beat Ohio State by the thinnest of possible margins at home early in the season. It wasn't like we had a powerhouse that had a bye and lost. I mean, I think, yeah, if Oregon had a different seeding, like they might have been in the final game. They're great. They might be the second best team in the country. But generally, I'm not ready to declare the bye is doomsday yet. Do we have enough of a sample size?
Definitely not. I don't think so either. I think the bye should be considered a positive, a bonus, a reward, if you will, for winning your conference. Because, listen, not to nitpick, but wasn't Arizona State one missed, targeting yeah. call away from bucking this trend? And Arizona State would have been obviously the Cinderella story of this bracket, and we would have said, listen, they yeah. got some rest and look how it helped them.
I do think the four top seeds being conference champions, that's got to go. Because, listen, SEC wasn't great this year, but to have, you're risking a lot to have the ACC and the Big 12 represented is not always going to be fair.
Okay, but if they're going to make changes to the format and they're yeah. going to say, okay, conference champions no longer get an automatic bye, well, you know who has to sign off on that? Everyone from the ACC and from the Big 12. Why would they say no to that?
Because they have no power. Because the SEC has all the leverage.
No, but it has to be a unanimous vote. I believe I'm right about this. It has to be a unanimous vote for them to change any of the formats. So
yeah, but
if I'm the ACC and the Big 12, I'm like, I'm not voting for this. I want to keep our conference champions with automatic buys.
But you know it's always looming, though. Is the SEC saying, fine, then we don't need this system anyway. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I might call their bluff on this one.
I mean, come on. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but like I know the SEC is down a little bit, but let's look at the ACC. Like I understand Notre Dame is in the Final Four, but generally, like SMU, Clemson, like I think there's still a big gap. I think the two top conferences are much better, and I do think the fact that Ole Miss is home, South Carolina home, and Alabama is home, I think the people in the SEC are rightfully like, wait, this doesn't seem totally fair.
Yeah, tough year to stump for Alabama. I don't think this was the right season to do that.
I hear you, but that again, like, do you think Alabama could have beaten some of these teams? For sure.
No.
I mean, they beat Georgia.
Yeah, they did.
They whooped LSU. I mean...
You have Texas here who lost to Georgia twice. So
you can be Penn State and Alabama in an open field. You're sure they win that game? I'm not at all.
I was just watching Alabama get smoked by Michigan in a bowl game. I'm not sure that Alabama's beating
right,
Penn
State.
Right,
that's an exhibition game.
But guys were playing.
Sort of. Jalen Milroe's body was there. I don't know where his mind was. He did not seem to care or even have any awareness that a game was going on around him. You cannot... judge a bowl game, look, historically, the bowl game results have no meaning on what really happened.
I guess the one thing that I would like to change is I thought it was a great atmosphere to have games on campus. Maybe that's a way you change it. And I know these bowl people don't want to give up their neutral sites and all the stuff that comes along with it. But I think having more games on campus, maybe the second round, that's awesome. Like if Oregon had been able to host that game against Ohio State, maybe things are different. I don't know.
Just re-rank it 1 to 12. Because otherwise, or reseed it in the second round. Like, reseed it in the second round. That's fine.
You can do that?
You could give the bye to the conference champions, but you can't have Oregon playing Ohio State in the first round or with the quarterfinal. It's not fair.
Coming up, we are answering some big questions about this college football playoff. Who's the best coach left in the Final Four? Who's the best quarterback left in the Final Four? All of that gets determined in mere moments. It's Maggie and Perloff.